الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يسر إخوانكم في موقع دار الحديث بالشحر أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة لفضيلة الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن مرعي بن بريك حفظه الله تعالى. والآن مع المادة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. أما بعد، علمنا في الدرس الماضي شيئًا من رسالة الشيخ الإمام عبد العزيز بن عبد الله بن باز رحمه الله، الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة، وأخذنا أشياء في أوائلها، وكان مما أخذناه شيء مما يتعلق بقراءة الفاتحة مع كيفية قراءتها في الصلاة الجهرية والصلاة السرية. وعلمنا أهمية هذه السورة العظيمة، إذ أن الصلاة لا تقبل إلا بها. كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. ولعظم هذه السورة افتتح ربنا جل وعلا بها القرآن، فصارت فاتحة القرآن. ولذلك كذلك أمر بالقراءة بها في كل ركعة من الصلاة، فهي تشتمل على معاني القرآن جميعا في كلمات مجملة جامعة. وفي صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يقول الله تعالى: قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي نصفين، ولعبدي ما سأل. فإذا قال العبد: الحمد لله رب العالمين، قال الله: حمدني عبدي. فإذا قال الرحمن الرحيم، قال الله: أثنى علي عبدي. قال الله: أثنى علي عبدي. فإذا قال: مالك يوم الدين، قال الله: مجدني عبدي. وإذا قال: إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، قال الله تعالى: هذا بيني وبين عبدي. ولعبدي ما سأل. ومعناه أن الله الكريم المنان لا يرد عبده الذي سأله إذا سأله بصدق وخشوع وحضور. ثم قال في الحديث: فإذا قال اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قال الله: هذا لعبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. فلنتأمل هذا الحديث العظيم الذي يدلنا على عظم هذه السورة التي أمرنا أن نقرأها في كل ركعة من الصلاة، سواء أكانت فريضة أو نافلة. وتأمل هذه الجمل: تجد أنها تضمنت معاني عظيمة جليلة، وبه تعرف أولا أهمية أن يصلي المصلي وهو حاضر القلب، يتدبر ما يقول بلسانه، ويستحضر هذا المعنى العظيم أن الله العظيم يجاوبه في كل جملة يقولها من السورة بجواب مقابلة ما قال. والمصلي إذا استحضر هذا المعنى دعاه ذلك إلى الخشوع في الصلاة وإلى تعظيم هذه الصلاة وإلى التلذذ بهذه الصلاة، حتى أنه يجد لها حلاوة وراحة لا يجدها في غيرها من الأعمال الأخرى. ولهذا كان نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: أرحنا بها يا بلال، أي بالصلاة. ولنتأمل كيف أن الله عز وجل جعل هذه الصلاة نصفين، وهذان النصفان نصف للعبد ونصف لله عز وجل. فما هو للعبد؟ هو الدعاء، سواء بلسان الحال أو بلسان المقال. بلسان المقال مثل قوله: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، ومثل التسبيح والتحميد في ركوعه وفي سجوده وفي اعتداله وقيامه وجلوسه، وهكذا كذلك بلسان الحال فهو يقوم قانتا لله يطلب من الله الرحمة والثواب، ويركع معظما لله يطلب الرحمة والثواب من الله، ويسجد خاشع لله يطلب الرحمة والثواب من الله سبحانه وتعالى. والنصف الآخر من الصلاة تعظيم للرب سبحانه وتعالى، فهو يعظم الرب سبحانه وتعالى بقوله وبفعله، بقوله في الثناء على الله سواء بالفاتحة كما مر معنا في الحديث يقول الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إلى آخره، وهكذا في سائر أقواله في الصلاة، وبلسان الحال يعني في حاله في صلاته في ركوعه وسجوده وقيامه، هو تعظيم لله سبحانه وتعالى. وهكذا نتأمل معنى هذه الألفاظ باختصار بعد أن يترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة إن شاء الله تعالى.
شيخ أبو عبد الرحمن عبد الله العدني حفظه الله تعالى started by saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone who has no partners, and asking Allah to make salawat and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions. As for what follows, he said, in our previous lesson we have taken an introduction and some of the issues which are mentioned in this little risala, this little letter or book from the Shaykh, the Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, and which is the book which is named The Important Lessons for the Entire Ummah. And we have mentioned something which is from the reading of Surah Al-Fatiha. How are we supposed to read it in our Salah? Whether it be the Salah where we read out loud or we read out quietly. And we have also mentioned the importance of reading Surah Al-Fatiha in every Salah, as there is no Salah which is accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except if Surah Al-Fatiha is read, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, there is no salah for the person who does not read Fatiha al-Kitab, يعني the Fatiha, the opening surah of the book. And also, for us to understand the greatness of this surah, we must understand that Allah has opened His book, Al-Quran, with this surah. That's why it was called Al-Fatiha, meaning the one which is opening the Quran. It was called Fatihatul Qur'an. And Allah has ordered us to read Al-Fatiha in every single raka'ah of our salah. And this is the reason being for this, is that Al-Fatiha includes and encompasses the meanings which are encompassed in the whole Qur'an. And those meanings are expressed in Surah Al-Fatiha in general, or what we call in Arabic mujmal and jami', meaning words which encompass many different meanings. Words and sentences which encompass many different meanings. And that's why if we meditate upon Surah Al-Fatiha, we will see that all the meanings which are in the Quran are encompassed in this surah. Then Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala mentioned the hadith which is reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala says, I have separated or I have split the salah between me and my servant into two halves, and my servant will get what he asked for. So when the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all the praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, Allah says, my servant has praised me, in the meaning of hamd, as we have explained before in previous lessons. Then when the servant says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahmani Rahim, Allah says, my slave has also praised, but this time with meaning athna, meaning praising by mentioning beautiful characteristics of a person. So my slave has make thana of me, yani praise by mentioning beautiful characteristics. Then when the slave says, Maliki Yawmiddin, the Malik, the king, or the owner of the day of retribution, the day of judgment, Allah says, my slave has glorified me. Then when the slave says, Ihdina iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for aid, Allah says, this is between me and my slave, and my slave will get what he has asked for. And the meaning of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject the request of his slave if he is doing this with sidq, honesty, and khushu', meaning humility and humbleness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, guide us to the straight path, the path of those that you have bestowed upon your ni'mah, your bounties, not the path of those you have been angry of, nor the path of those who have gone astray. So then Allah says, this is what my slave asked for. He says, this is for my slave, and my slave will get what he has asked for. So Shaykh is saying, let's meditate upon this great hadith, which is indicating or making us understand the greatness of this surah, that we have been ordered to read in every single raka'ah, whether it be of an obligatory prayer or a nafila prayer. So let's look at those sentences and the meanings that we can find in it. If you start doing this, you will understand the importance to for the person who is praying to pray while he is present with his heart in his prayer, and that he reminds himself of those great meanings that we have just mentioned. And it is for the person who is praying to remind himself constantly that Allah answers every single sentence that he says in Surah Al-Fatiha, as is mentioned in this hadith that we have just read. And if the person who is praying remembers this, this will make him feel more khushu' in his prayer. He will feel the humility in his prayer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will also start really enjoying to pray. And he will find the sweetness of this ibadah of praying in a way that he will never find it in any other ibadah. or in any other righteous deeds. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to Bilal, arihna biha ya Bilal, meaning make us rest in the sense of relax or enjoy the prayer, O Bilal, meaning by making adhan and let us pray. Then Shaykh goes on saying, let's look how Allah has put this prayer or this Surah Al-Fatiha into two halves. The first half is for the slave and the second half is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the first half which is for the slave, or the half which is for the slave, is the half which is encompassing the dua. And Shaykh is explaining that the dua that we're going to talk about is, like we say in Arabic, by lisanul hal wa lisanul maqal. Lisanul hal, if we translate this, we would say the tongue or the speaking of the situation. The closest meaning we might find in English for this is body language. Or lisanul maqal, meaning what you ask by talking, by speaking clearly, pronouncing what you're requesting. So Shaykh is saying that Surah Al-Fatiha, the dua in Surah Al-Fatiha, is of both types. It's a dua which comes from body language, and at the same time it comes from the fact that you pronounce your dua. So for example, the dua of normal speech, pronunciation, is when you say, for example, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. This is a dua that you make. And also at tasbih, when you say subhanallah, or at tahmid, when you say alhamdulillah, while you're in ruku' or in sujood. And other than that, so all of those, all of what is mentioned here are from the lisanul maqal types of dua. Then as far as the lisanul hal, meaning body language, then this is because the slave, while he's praying and reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, he stands in front of Allah, as we say, qanitan, meaning he stands in front of Allah with his body, but also his heart is present in what he is pronunciation, yani what he's pronunciating from Al-Quran. And other than that, and this will appear on his outward, yani it will, you will notice this on his outward appearance. And by doing this is a form of asking the rahmah of Allah, meaning by standing in front of Allah in humility and humbleness. It's a form of asking Allah for his rahmah, his mercy, and asking Allah for the rewards that he has promised us. And the same way when he's in ruku', then he goes into ruku' being humble towards Allah, and he goes to sujood as well being humble towards Allah. And all of this is a way and a form of asking for the rahmah of Allah and the reward that he has promised us. Then the half which is for Allah, then this is the half of everything which is encompassing the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by praising him and mentioning him with his beautiful attributes. And this is what is in the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha, first of all, when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmani Rahim, Maliki Yawmi Deen, as we have mentioned in the Hadith. And secondly, it's also in the rest of the prayer, when you are in ruku' and in sujood, when you make tasbih saying Subhanallah Al-Azim, or Subhan Rabbi Al-Azim, and also when you come back from ruku', and so on and so forth. And as we mentioned before, also the glorification of Allah comes about by lisanul hal, meaning body language, in the fact that you stand in front of Allah humble, because this is a way of glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam ya Shaykhana.
Wa amma al-kalam ala alfaz al-fatiha. وأطلنا في الكلام على الفاتحة لأهميتها وعظم قدرها في دين الإسلام وفي الصلاة، ولهذا أمرنا أن نكررها في كل ركعة من جميع الصلوات. أولا التعود حين تقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، فإنك بقولك ذلك تطلب من الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحميك، فالعوذ هو طلب دفع الشر والسوء، كما أن اللوذ ضده هو طلب حصول الخير. اللوذ باللام طلب حصول الخير، والعوذ طلب دفع الشر والسوء. فأنت حين تقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم تطلب من الله سبحانه وتعالى في أول الصلاة أن يحميك ويدفع عنك شرور الشيطان الرجيم. الشيطان هو اسم وعلم لإبليس وجنده من الجن والإنس، وهو مأخوذ من الشطن أي الخروج عن الطاعة والاستقامة. والرجيم أي الذي رجم، أي إبليس رجم، سواء باللعنة الرجم المعنوي والغضب أو النار والعذاب من الرجم الحسي. وهكذا جنده، فأنت بهذا التعود تطلب من الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يدفع عنك شرور إبليس وجنده من الجن والإنس، أي شياطين الجن والإنس وما أكثرهم، لا كثرهم الله. واستفتاح المصلي بهذا الدعاء نافع، لأنه يعين على إحسانه في عبادته. إذا تأمل هذا الدعاء فهو مفيد جدا. أولا بخلوص قلبه ولسانه وجوارحه، فالمصلي إذا استحضر هذا المعنى لزمه أن يعمل بمقتضاه، ومقتضاه الإقبال على الله في الصلاة والانقطاع عن كل ما سوى الله. ومن باب أولى الخواطر والأفكار وحديث النفس الشيطاني. وثانيا لأنه يجد العون من الله سبحانه وتعالى. يجد العون من الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا العون بأن الله يستجيب دعاءه فيعينه على إكمال صلاته على أتم الوجوه، وهكذا كذلك في سائر أعماله. فيحصل له خير الدنيا والآخرة، ويندفع عنه شر الدنيا والآخرة. وهكذا معنى البسملة، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أي باسم الرب الإله الحق أبتدئ قراءتي وصلاتي. فأنت تبتدئ بذكر اسم الله عز وجل تعظيما، وتبركا، واستعانة، ثم وصفت هذا الإله الحق بأنه الرحمن الرحيم، وهذان اسمان متضمنان لصفة الرحمة، والرحمن أبلغ من الرحيم. فإن زيادة المبنى في العربية تدل على زيادة المعنى، ولهذا جاء عن بعض السلف أنه رحمن الدنيا والآخرة. وهو رحيم بالمؤمنين كما قال سبحانه: وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما، يعني أن كل المخلوقات أوجدت وتبقى ما شاء الله أن تبقى برحمة الله العامة، وأما رحمته الخاصة فهي للمؤمنين فقط. وهذه الرحمة الخاصة هي التي تقتضي كمال الخير، كمال الخير الديني والدنيوي، وليس كمال الخير بكثرة عرض الدنيا، ولكن بحسن الانتفاع به، بحسن الانتفاع به. فمثلا حاجة الصبي ليس كحاجة الكبير، وحاجة المريض ليس كحاجة الصحيح، وهكذا يجعل الله عز وجل للمؤمن ما هو خير له برحمته الخاصة في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. فأنت إذا تلفظت بهذه الألفاظ استحضرت رحمة الرب سبحانه وتعالى وعظمته. وهكذا كذلك تستحضر رحمته سبحانه والتفريق بين الرحمتين. فعند ذلك يدعوك هذا إلى الخشوع أكثر في الصلاة وفي سائر العبادات لله عز وجل. وقولك الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد هو الثناء على الله، باللسان والقلب. أنت تثني على الله بلسانك وبقلبك لعلمك بكماله سبحانه وتعالى في نفسه، ولعظيم إنعامه وإحسانه لخلقه لكماله في نفسه ولعظيم إنعامه وإحسانه لخلقه. فأنت تعترف بأن الحمد لا يكون إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى وحده. ولهذا أكدت بقولك رب العالمين، والعالم كل ما سوى الله فهو عالم. سمي عالم لأنه علم على الله. قلنا ولهذا أكدت بقولك رب العالمين تدليلا على أنه سبحانه المنفرد بالعظمة، فلهذا هو وحده يفرد بالحمد. ورب العالمين قلنا رب كل شيء، لأن العالم كل ما سوى الله. وسمي عالم أي كل ما سوى الله لأنه علم على الله، يعني علامة تدل على الله. فالمخلوق يدل على الخالق، كما أن البعرة تدل على البعير، والأثر يدل على المسير، فكذلك المخلوقات تدل على ماذا؟ على الخالق. فكل ما سوى الله علم على الله سبحانه وتعالى يدل عليه. فأنت إذا استحضرت هذا المعنى أخلصت عبادتك لله وحده، وعلمت أنه ليس أحد من المخلوقين يملك شيئا، بل المالك الحقيقي والنافع والضار هو الله وحده سبحانه. فتتوجه إليه لا تتوجه إلى غيره. وأنت تستدل بهذا بأن العظيم بهذه العظمة هو الذي يستحق العبادة وحده. ثم قولك الرحمن الرحيم كما تقدم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم اسمان من أسماء الله الحسنى عظيمان يدلان على صفة الرحمة لله عز وجل، الرحمة العامة والرحمة الخاصة. وعند أهل العربية أن صيغة فعلان تدل على الامتلاء والكثرة، وهي الرحمن هنا، وصيغة فعيل تدل على لزوم الصفة وهي رحيم هنا. وهذا يؤكد ما سبق الكلام عليه باختصار. وقولك بعد ذلك مالك يوم الدين، يوم الدين أي يوم الجزاء، يوم القيامة. وذكر هذا الوصف لله عز وجل في هذا الموضع لحكمة عظيمة من الله سبحانه. من هذه الحكمة أن تستحضر قصر هذه الدنيا، قصر هذه الدنيا وضرورة الوقوف للجزاء يوم القيامة. وهذه المعاني إذا تكررت على لسان وقلب المصلي نفعت فيه نفعا عظيما. لكن متى؟ إذا استحضرها نفعت وأثرت فيه نفعا عظيما. ثم بعد هذه الأسماء الجليلة لله عز وجل والصفات العظيمة يشرع بذكر حقيقة ما أمر به العبد، وهو عبادة الله عز وجل وحده، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، أي لا نعبد إلا أنت ولا نستعين إلا بك يا الله. وهذا المعنى أي الحصر أخذ من هذه الصيغة في العربية، وهو تقديم ما حقه التأخير. فعند أهل العربية يفيد هذا الحصر، وسيوضح إن شاء الله أبو حذيفة. ومعنى العبادة تقدم معنا في دروس قادمة سابقة عفوا بما يغني عن الإعادة. العبادة اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة. وعرفنا تعريف العبادة باعتبار الفعل وباعتبار المفعول. فباعتبار المفعول تعريف شيخ الإسلام، وباعتبار الفعل تعريف ابن القيم في بيته: وعبادة الرحمن غاية حبه مع ذل عابدهما قطبان، إلى آخر البيتين. ثم بعد ذلك الدعاء اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، دعاء تدعو به أيها المصلي ربك جل وعلا أن يهديك، أن يهديك الصراط المستقيم. ولاحظ وانتبه إلى صيغة الجمع، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. قال العلماء في هذا لفتة أن المصلي يستعين بعبادة المصلين الآخرين، وهذا من التقرب إلى الله والتوسل إليه بالأعمال الصالحة. فإن الإنسان يذنب ويخطئ، ولكن مع إحسانه القليل وإحسان غيره من المحسنين يكون في ذلك سبب أكبر للتجاوز عن تلك السيئة. لعله اتضح المعنى. وشيء آخر فيه لفتة لأهمية أداء الطاعات والقيام بالدين على وجه الاجتماع، فإنه أعون لإتقانها والإحسان فيها. ونقول كذلك اهدنا الصراط المستقيم بالجمع زيادة طلب في حصول استجابة الدعاء، يعني كأنك تقول يا الله إن كنت أنا مسيء فبيننا من هو محسن من الصالحين فلا ترد دعاءنا جميعا. وقولك الصراط المستقيم أي الطريق الذي لا اعوجاج فيه، وهو المتمثل بدينه الذي أنزله على رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام من الأمر والنهي وسائر ما بعث به نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام. فأنت تطلب الهداية فيه بالعلم به والعمل به. ثم أكدت ذلك بقولك صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. من هؤلاء الذين أنعم الله عز وجل عليهم؟ فسروا في سورة النساء بقوله سبحانه ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. فهؤلاء هم قدوتك الذين تطلب من الله عز وجل أن يهديك إلى الطريق الذي هدوا إليه، فأنت تستحضر بهذا ثلاثة معاني. المعنى الأول أن تتأسى بفعل هؤلاء من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، فتعمل أعمال صالحة كما عملوا. وهذا يحثك على الإكثار من العمل الصالح والعلم النافع قبل ذلك. والمعنى الثاني أن يدخل إلى قلبك اليقين أن هؤلاء أنعم الله عز وجل عليهم كما أخبرك وأنت تقرأ هذه السورة. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. أنعمت فعل ماذا؟ ماضي يدل على تحقق وقوع الوصف المذكور فيه. وهذا يدخل إلى قلبك اليقين وحسن الظن بالله عز وجل والرجاء بالخير الذي عنده. وهكذا المعنى الثالث تعرف أهمية العمل الصالح الذي لا يتوصل إليه إلا بالعلم النافع. وأن الهداية الحقيقية ليست بالدعوة، لأن الكثير من الناس يقول الحمد لله على الهداية بلسانه، لكن أقواله وأفعاله تخالف ذلك. فقلنا بهذا تستحضر أهمية العمل الصالح. ثم بعد ذلك قلت غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين، يعني أنك تتبرأ من طريق المغضوب عليهم والضالين. وهذا يتضمن كذلك ثلاثة أمور: قلنا غير المغضوب عليهم والضالين تتبرأ من طريق هؤلاء، وهذا يتضمن ثلاثة أمور. الأمر الأول التبرؤ من طريق هؤلاء المغضوب عليهم، وهم الذين لم يعملوا بالعلم كاليهود. وقد صح عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام تفسيره باليهود، وليس هو محصور فيهم، لكن هو لهم ولمن فعل مثل فعلهم. والضالون هم الذين عملوا بغير علم، عمل بغير علم كالنصارى، وقد صح عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام تفسيره بهم، وهو لهم ولمن كان مثلهم. وهذا يدلك على الأمر الثاني، وهو أهمية الاعتناء بالعلم، وهكذا كذلك العمل بالعلم. والثالث أفادك أن حقيقة هذا الدين يكمن في ركنين اثنين، هما ركنا كلمة التوحيد: النفي والإثبات. فأنت تثبت لله الألوهية فتعبده ولا تعبد غيره، وتنفيها عما سواه فإذا لا تعبد ما سوى الله. وهكذا كذلك تطيعه ولا تعصيه، نفي وإثبات، وتفعل الطيب ولا تفعل الخبيث، وتتأسى بالصالحين ولا تتأسى بالأشرار. وهذا المعنى لو تأملته هو روح الدين في النفي والإثبات.
وتضمنت هذه السورة كذلك أنواع التوحيد الثلاثة: توحيد الربوبية في قولك الحمد لله رب العالمين، وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات في قولك الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين، وتوحيد الألوهية في قولك إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. وهذه كلها تتعلق بالله عز وجل، وهكذا تضمنت هذه السورة طاعة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، وهي معنى كلمة الشهادة له عليه الصلاة والسلام بالرسالة في قولك اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم إلى آخره. هذا خلاصة ما يذكر في تفسير سورة الفاتحة، وبه نكتفي والله تعالى أعلم. ويترجم الآن أخونا أبو حذيفة حفظه الله.
شيخ عبد الله حفظه الله تعالى went on going into pondering upon these words which are encompassed in Surah Al-Fatiha. And he mentions to us that the reason why we are talking a lot and extending the speech about Surah Al-Fatiha is because Surah Al-Fatiha has an enormous importance in this religion. Like we said before, we were ordered to read in every single raka'ah of our prayers, and Allah has opened His book with it, and other than that, as we have mentioned. So first of all, before you start reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, you make what is called a ta'awwudh, meaning you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. A ta'awwudh means that you are asking Allah to protect you from the evil, from the shayateen. And Sheikh mentioned that ta'awwudh is in Arabic written with dhal, and awl-awth is with ayn, and al-lawth with lam is the opposite, is to request khair. This was just as a language benefit. Then back to ta'awwudh and talab al-awth, requesting al-awth, which is the protection against evil. You, by saying so, you ask in the beginning of your prayer for Allah to protect you and to keep away from you the evils of shaytan, who is ar-rajim. And ash-shaytan ar-rajim is a name which was given to Iblis and all his soldiers, whether they be from amongst the jinn or from amongst the mankind. And the word shaytan is taken in Arabic from the word shatan. Shatan means the exiting or the leaving of the obedience, يعني leaving out obedience, the obedience, and leaving out istiqama, يعني following the straight path. This is the meaning of shatan. And الرجيم, طيب, الرجيم, in Arabic is also the word rajam, which we translate as being stoning, but the meaning in Arabic is more general than that. الرجيم meaning the one who is expelled by any means that it might be. Like stoning a person is a way of expelling it, of expelling the person. And Shaykh was explaining that Iblis was expelled first of all in a meaning, يعني in a way of meaning, in the sense that he is expelled from the mercy of Allah, and also he's expelled in a physical way by being thrown into hellfire. So you, by saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, you ask Allah to keep away from you all the evils from the shayateen, whether they be from the jinn or mankind. And Shaykh is saying, how many are they? We ask Allah to make, not to make them more numerous. So This is the dua that you open your salah with, looking for protection. Because this is something which helps you to get ihsan, yani well-doing in your ibadah. First of all, because you will free your heart and your tongue and your limbs from this meaning which comes from shaitan. By remembering the meaning of what we have just mentioned, meaning that you request from Allah to protect you against shaitan, this implies that you, first of all, you turn very sincerely towards Allah and you cut away from everything else which shaitan might remember you from the dunya or even the sins and so on and so forth. And this will help you to get rid of whatever whispers you might get or thoughts you might get which have nothing to do with prayer, whether they be sins or other than that. And you will find the help of Allah in doing so. Because this is a way of asking Allah for help, and Allah answers your dua. And this up until you perfect your salah in the best of ways. And this goes also for the rest of your actions of worship. Allah will make them easier for you for the khair of the dunya and the khair of the akhirah. And will keep away from you the evil of the dunya and the evil of the akhirah. Then in the same way, you start saying al-basmalah, meaning you say bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Meaning, you mention the name of the real God, the real worshipped one, who is the Lord al-Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you start your prayer, your salah, with this way of glorifying, yani by saying al-basmalah, you are glorifying Allah, first of all. Second, this is a way of requesting the barakah from Allah, as we have mentioned before. And also, it is a way of seeking the help of Allah doing isti'ana, as we have also mentioned in previous lessons. Then, these words, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, as we said, this is a description of the real worshipped one, the real God, who is the only one who deserves the worship. You describe him with the description or the characteristics or attribute of Rahmah, mercy. And the word Ar-Rahman is more powerful than Ar-Rahim, or is more strong in meaning than Ar-Rahim. This is why it has been reported from some of the Salaf of this Ummah that they have said the Rahman of the dunya and the akhirah, because the mercy which is meant by in the attribute of Ar-Rahman is a mercy which encompasses the whole dunya and the akhirah, whereas Ar-Rahim is only for the believers, like Allah says in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He was Rahim towards the believers. So this means that the whole of creation, they exist and they stay only by the mercy of Allah, meaning the general mercy, which was encompassed in the meaning of the word Ar-Rahman. And then the particular mercy of the mercy of Ar-Rahim is particular and only for the believers. And this mercy of the word Ar-Rahim is the one which implies that if you get it, you will reach the complete khair of the dunya and the akhirah. And the meaning of receiving the rahmah of Allah in the dunya does not mean to receive loads of the dunya. Rather, it means that Allah grants you to make the right use of the dunya and to use it in the right way. Like, for example, people are different in their needs towards things. Like the child does not have the same need as a grown-up person. And the healthy person does not have the need of the sick person. Not the same need. So in the same way, the believer, Allah gives him by his rahmah the right thing he needs to get the complete benefit of the dunya. Not to get the whole dunya, but to get the best of benefit from it. And if you, by saying so, you remember this rahmah and the mercy that Allah has bestowed upon you, and you remember the difference between the two types of rahmah as we have just mentioned, then this will force you, or this will help you to get into khushu' and humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your prayer, as well as in the rest of your worships. Then the words or the sentence, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Then this, as we mentioned, is praise for Allah by pronunciation, meaning with the tongue, and also with the heart. Because, why with the heart? Because this praise is built upon the knowledge that you have gathered, the knowledge which is referring to the perfection of Allah, the perfection of Allah within him, his own self, and the perfection of Allah in his great bounties that he bestows upon his creatures. And if you remember those things, you will understand and realize that none deserves the praise in that way except Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why you enforce this meaning by saying Rabbil Alameen. Because if he is alone the one who has made all this mercy and bestowed all these bounties upon the entire of creation, then he is verily the only one who deserves the praise and the worship in that sense. And Rabbul Alameen, and here Rabbil Alameen, meaning the Lord of every single thing. Because Al-Alam is everything which is other than Allah. And it was called in Arabic Alam because it is a Alam. A Alam meaning a sign. Because the creation is a sign of the Creator. So everything that is other than Allah is in reality a sign of Allah. Just like traces of footsteps in the sand are a sign of the person who has passed there. And other than that. Then you say again, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. As we said before, those are two names from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they indicate the attribute of rahmah, of mercy, whether it be the general mercy encompassing the whole creation, or the particular mercy encompassing the believers only. And Shaykh mentioned some benefit, which is linked to the Arabic language. The word Rahman is upon, as we say in Arabic, the wazan, the scale, fa'lan. Rahman, fa'lan. And the scale fa'lan in Arabic indicates what we call in Arabic al-imtila wal-kathra. Al-imtila meaning to be full of something or filled up with something. Meaning that here you describe Allah as being complete and entirely full of mercy. And also al-kathra meaning the great amounts. Meaning by the word, saying the word Rahman, you describe amounts, you describe Allah by attributing to him a great amount of mercy. Then the word Ar-Rahim is upon the wazan or scale fa'il. And the scale fa'il, unlike fa'il, it indicates the constancy of what you are describing. Meaning that, na'am? Na'am Rashid? Rashid, you hear me?
Na'am, but yeah, we last thing we heard was the explaining of Ar-Rahman.
طيب, I start again from Rahman or from Rahim?
Please start from the last Ar-Rahman.
طيب. So we said Ar-Rahman is upon the scale, like we say in Arabic, the shape of the word fa'lan, fa'lan Rahman. And this shape of words indicates in Arabic what we call al-imtila and al-kathra. Al-imtila meaning when something is full of something. Meaning here that you, by saying the word Ar-Rahman, you describe Allah by being full of mercy. And Al-Kathra, meaning abundance or large amounts, meaning you're describing Allah by having a great abundance and a large amount of mercy. That's the meaning of Ar-Rahman. Now Ar-Rahim is on another wazn, is on the scale of Fa'il, Rahim Fa'il. So this scale Fa'il, it means, like we say in Arabic, Luzum Sifa, meaning that this word that you're attributing is constant to the one that you're attributing it to. Meaning the word Fa'il indicates that the Rahmah of Allah is constant. It does not stop, or it does not take a break. Allah is constantly having mercy. Then the word Maliki Yawmiddin. Yawmiddin meaning the day of reward. Ad-Din is hereby meaning that everybody gets the reward of what he has done. Meaning the day of resurrection, Yawmul Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this last attributes, meaning Maliki Yawmiddin, in this particular place for a great wisdom. And it is for the believer in the beginning of his prayer for him to remember the shortness of this dunya, and that it is obligatory upon him to take position and remember himself that he will get rewarded for what he has done in this dunya. If it was good, then good, and if it was bad, then bad. And these meanings, if he remembers them with his heart, then you will see that his prayer will be completed in a very perfect way. Then after that, Allah went over, يعني, in mentioning Surah Al-Fatiha, we go over to mentioning what is the reality of what we have been ordered in our life, meaning the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this is taken from إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So this sentence إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, we have to explain the structure of this sentence. Originally, you should say نَعْبُدُوكَ وَنَسْتَعِينُ بِكَ, meaning that we do not say إِيَّاكَ. إِيَّاكَ here is what we call in English a pronoun. In Arabic we say ضَمِير. This damir should come at the end of the verb in the form of just ka, na'buduka, not iyaka na'bud. This is the origin, this is the asl way we say it in Arabic. But here, for very specific reasons that we will explain, the damir, this pronoun, went before the verb, went before worship. We say normally, we worship you, na'buduka. But here we say, you we worship. And the fact that we have taken the damir iyaka before the verb, before na'bud, this indicates that what we call in Arabic al-hasr, meaning that we limit this action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. If we translate it in English, we say, you alone we worship. And this is understood from the simple sentence in Arabic, iyaka na'bud, and also iyaka nasta'in, you alone we seek for aid. And the meaning of worship, as has been mentioned in previous lesson, we define it like Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned, by saying, Rashid, I mentioned that it looks like we're having an electricity breakdown. No, inshallah, it's okay, alhamdulillah. So Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, al-ibadah is a name which encompasses everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from the actions and speech, whether they be apparent or hidden. So this is the definition of al-ibadah, if we consider it from the point of view of what we do. And then also we have the definition of Ibn al-Qayyim, which is explaining to us the way we do it. The worship of Allah is the extreme love of Him with the humility towards Him. Naam. Then you go over by making the dua, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. So here you ask your Lord to guide you towards the straight path. And Shaykh is saying, pay attention to the fact that here we went over, or that here we mentioned this dua with plural. You say, guide us. You don't say, guide me to the straight path. You say, guide us to the straight path. The ulama, they say that here we have an indication to the fact that the person in his prayer looks or seeks aid from the fact that he is doing his worship with other people at the same time. In the sense that we all seek for closeness towards Allah together. It is like we're saying, it might be that my actions are shortcoming, but there are other people with me whose action might be much better, so Allah, please do not reject the action of the dua of all of us. So here you are kind of seeking aid through the ihsan of the people who are praying with you. And this is including the meaning of doing the acts of worship and the acts of obedience in this religion in congregation. And you say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us to the straight path all together. And As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, يعني, as we understand, is the one which there is no curve in it, and we can summarize it as being putting into practice the entire religion that Allah has sent to us. And this is a way of asking guidance through knowledge and acting upon the knowledge. Because Allah has then you go on by describing this Sirat al-Mustaqim by saying the path of those that you have bestowed your mercy upon. And to understand who are those that you have that Allah has bestowed your mercy upon, we go over to Surah An-Nisa, where Allah says, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then those are the ones who will be with the prophets and the truthful people and the martyrs and the righteous ones. So if you remember this meaning, this will bring you three benefits. First of all, this will make you try and set your life in accordance to those people who are mentioned, those that Allah has bestowed His mercy upon, meaning the prophets, the truthful ones, the martyrs, and the righteous ones. And this comes in the way that you increase your amount of good deeds. Secondly, this will enter into your heart the certainty that Allah, as a matter of fact, bestows His mercy and bestows His bounties upon the people who do those righteous deeds. Because Allah says, "An'amta alayhim," those who you have bestowed your mercy upon. Here, this verb came in the past form, meaning that the bestowing of the mercy has, or the bestowing of the bounties has already happened. So you understand that, as a matter of fact, doing the righteous actions, you will really get the reward out of this, as Allah has promised you in the Quran. And this will enter into your heart, husnul dhan, yani having a good thought of Allah and having hope for what is with Allah. Third benefit that you will get, this will show you the importance of the that which you will manage to reach those good deeds. Because good deeds are only reached by beneficial knowledge, and this is why you are making this dua. Because it is not appropriate for you just to call, oh, we thank Allah for guidance and so on and so forth. You say this with your tongue and then your limbs contradict this claim that you're doing with your tongue. That's why you are striving towards realizing good deeds by getting beneficial knowledge and acting upon this knowledge. Then next thing by saying غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, not the ones that you have been angry upon, nor the ones who went astray. This is a way of you to free yourself from those two types of people. Those that Allah has become angry upon. It has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the ones meant by this are the Jews. But as Shaykh Hafidhahullah ta'ala is explaining, this meaning is not only limited to the Jews, but it is limited to everybody who has the same characteristic, meaning that they have the knowledge but they do not act upon it. So you free yourself from this way. And you also free yourself from the misguided ones, which are the Christians. Like has also been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they used to act without knowledge. And this once again will show you the importance of gathering the beneficial knowledge and acting upon it. And this also shows you that the reality of this religion always comes in with two things, affirmation and negation. Just as in your shahada, you affirm the right to be worshipped to Allah alone, you negate this right to anybody else. So here in the same way, you have requested to reach the obedience to Allah, and you freed yourself from disobedience to Allah. So this is once again a way of affirmation and negation. And also, نعم. Then, lastly, Shaykh is saying also Surah Al-Fatiha encompasses the three types of Tawheed in the way you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din. These words that you're saying, they are Tawheed Al-Asma Wa Sifat, the Tawheed of the names and attributes, because you mention and affirm the names, these names and attributes to Allah. And then when you say Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, you affirm that Allah alone is being worshipped, as we have explained before. And Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you affirm lordship to Allah upon the whole world. And also, Surah Al-Fatiha encompasses the meaning of the obedience of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the way that by saying Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, you affirm the reality or the truthfulness of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because you are asking Allah to guide you upon this straight path. Which straight path is this? It is the straight path of the message that came with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Shaykh stopped here, and we stop here inshallah ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.